And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are ya? My name is Liz. This is Tom, my co-host, and this is RBLR Sun. Woo! It's a good day to be a Sun fan, because every day is a good day to be a Sun fan. To our new listeners, thank you so much for coming to join us. For anyone who's returning, thank you for coming back. Remember, like, subscribe, do all the thingies so you never, ever miss a single Sun FC update. As you can see, if you're watching us on YouTube, which go subscribe to us on YouTube, we have a guest today, Dan, in addition to our usual co-host, Tom. Hi,
thanks
Dan.
Thanks for having me. Hi. Sorry.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Tom. How are you guys today?
Yeah, my head is so big in this box, so I'm just trying to like act nonchalant on YouTube for you. But no, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
it's good to have you, man. The boxes are especially constraining this week, so it's not just you.
So, Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's been it's good to see everybody again. I know we took last week off because the news was kind of slow, and it happens with an off season, especially the first ever off season. Not a lot to go off of really, except for everything we've been covering. So we regrouped. We got 2 weeks worth of news now, so I think we should be good to go for this one.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh boy, that's a big question. So, soccer-wise, I am I'm a contributor for Protagonist Soccer, Dan Vaughn and Josh Duders, lower league soccer kind of empire. We used to have a podcast that covered NISA. We stopped doing it because NISA. I also co-host a podcast with Josh Duder covering USL League One. Been doing that for a couple of years. And once they announced Super League Protagonist, we're going to move into the Super League space. And so keep your eyes peeled for that. And I'll be doing some Super League content moving forward.
Yep. Awesome. That's great. Okay. So we've had two signings now in the past 2 weeks. A little bit slower pace, which I'm not going to lie, is killing me a little bit on the inside. I need the news. I need some new stuff. But we did get Caitlin Marchese. I'm not sure how you pronounce that last bit, but we'll figure it out. From St. Petersburg, Florida, one of Tom's picks. Very exciting. Tom, tell us about her.
Yeah, she's a great one to pick up. She's a Green Devil out of St. Pete High School, a field I'm very familiar with. If anybody's been to any St. Pete FC League 2 games, you're familiar with it too. Great little facility. Yeah, she's very good. We've gotten two kind of younger goalies, and I like the look of both of them. Checked out a lot of their college highlights. They looked real solid. But Marchese slots in as the number one easy, I think. She comes to us straight from the English top flight, playing with Arsenal. Which is always good to see. She was on loan to Bristol City recently. But she's a local Tampa girl through and through. Played her youth ball for Tampa United. Played for Tampa Hellenic, an old school WPSL team back in the day. And then she went up to Gainesville to play collegiately, where did pretty damn good for the Gators. She's got the most solo shutouts and the most complete matches of any goalie in UF history. Number two in minutes played ever as a goalie at UF, and number three in starts, saves, and wins up in Gainesville. So she's got a deep pedigree as far as local soccer, and playing it overseas for a high caliber team like Arsenal is really impressive. So to have her come back home, have these local girls here, somebody to look up to, somebody who can play for a big name team like Arsenal, and somebody who can make Tampa Bay Sun a big name team, it's one of our more exciting signings, I would think so.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is definitely one of those big names that we were waiting for, that we were like big name that was local that we also were another big name that was local that we were waiting for that we really, really wanted.
They kind really of a marquee billboard signing.
Yeah, for sure. It's there are people who are going to go to bed and they're going to be like, I have to face Caitlin Marchese in the morning. Yep, it's just that one meme. Yeah. We've seen a lot of stuff on Instagram. The girls seem to be having a whole lot of fun together. We've seen them in training. They've been having several practices together. They just look like they're having a good time. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm jealous. So then a lot of personality.
Yes. And then our second signing, exciting, is Andrea Hawksdottir, from Iceland, but did play for the USF Bulls. So there is a connection. She is coming back. It's not necessarily a welcome to, it's a welcome home or welcome back, excuse me.
Yeah. it's Coach Denise, pulling some strings, getting some of her kids back here. Like we've seen a little bit already. Hawksdottir, another big name, especially if you're a fan of the USF Bulls, you definitely know who she is. She racked up the honors, American Conference Midfielder of the Year, 2 years, junior and senior, 2018 and 19. United Soccer Coaches, All South First Team, 2018 and 19. American Conference Best 11, 3 years in a row. She won pretty much everything she could win as a USF Bull, and then got plenty of experience overseas. Most recently was staying fresh back home in Iceland. But before that was playing down in Liga MX with Mazatlan and Club America, which again, I love to see us kind of raid in Mexico for players, because that's a really, really good league. Familiarity with, I think, what'll be the style, that kind of CONCACAF American style. So another signing that I'm really excited about, and one that'll probably move some needles locally too, because she's a name that should be familiar to people in the scene.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited for this. And then speaking of them, when we'll get to see them is that we have one announced preseason match that, as far as I know, is only going to be open to season ticket holders, or sun chasers, as we're called. And it's going to be Friday, August 9th at the stadium that they say will be completed by then.
Yep.
Tom, what was the you're reading an article, you said?
Yeah. TampaBay.com, the news site, they had a little five things to know about Tampa Bay's new pro women's soccer team. Felt like kind of a throwaway article. You know, if you've been following RBLR, you should know everything there is to know. But they did sneak in a little quote that they do plan on having the stadium ready by August 9th, August 10th for a scrimmage that they did not explicitly announce, but is on the USF women's soccer schedule. So it's confirmed by USF. It's a done deal, I think. So, and it's one I've been kind of waiting for. It makes obvious sense.
Yeah.
Denise came from there. They're the local school. Her husband took over for her as the head coach. So if that didn't happen, I'd worry about their marriage, honestly. But we're good to go.
I mean, it just kind of makes sense in general with like the Rowdies play against the USF men's team almost every preseason too. So I like that we're keeping those ties local.
Absolutely.
For sure. We did have a couple of uniforms announced. I know we had, North Carolina.
Yep.
Had their kit announced, and it was gorgeous. One would even say it's a heat wave kit because of the colors. Yeah. Go for it. No,
Dan. Yeah, no, sorry. Just jump in. I didn't want to bother you when you were doing Tampa Bay Sun information. Yeah, that's a great kit. It's good to see. Well, somebody who's following the whole league as they start to roll out, what is really good to see is the level of resources all these clubs are putting into marketing comms. Like, I think something as somebody who's covered lower leagues, professional and amateur, we get a little tired of is our clubs who pop up and don't really do that. Do it much marketing, and it's really great to see these super leagues do it and do it pretty well across the board. And yeah, those Carolina kits are, they put some thought into them. You can tell, and I think they did an excellent job. That's not an easy task to have a kit that has so many colors.
Have it
blend together. And we see that with on the men's side, USL One Knoxville had similar kind of kits, and they do really well going outside the box, and it's good to see the Ascent kind of follow along in that path.
It's a really unique kit, really unique set of colors. I mean talking to people up in North Carolina, they really love that mountains and sea kind of coming together type of thing that they're pushing a lot up there, and so I think it's really neat to see. It's so much better than just like some generic template kit. It shows a little bit of just like what we did here in Tampa Bay, with a little bit of connection to the community and understanding of where you're playing.
Yeah, and I really like that they did, they priced them, I believe, the same as ours. They were about $100, which is, again, is the same as what the NWSL is charging. They charge about $100 for a kit without a name on it, which still seems like a ridiculous amount of money. But then you look at MLS and you're like, no, this is a bargain.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that they're keeping the price fairly on pace. And then I also really like that they made the away kit incredibly similar, like not incredibly similar to the home kit, but it's the home kit just like halfway. It's like white on top and then a little gradient on the bottom just to kind of keep it, tie it all together. And I really like that. As opposed to like, not that I don't love our, like our navy and our gold, you know, two color kits, but I like that they had that. They were like, no, we like this gradient. We're keeping it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a deliberate like identity choice. Whereas our jerseys are great. Don't get me wrong, but the yellow one is definitely the second jersey.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. I'm buying two and one is going to be worn and that's the navy. And then the yellow one will be for signatures. Yeah.
So I do worry a little bit about these gradient kits. How they look on TV. There have been some gradient kits that look, when you see them on TV, they look like the players have waded through like oil or mud or something like that, because they look great when you look at them and you wear them, but when you look at them running around on TV, but fingers crossed, I don't think this one's going to have the problem, but that's something I'd like to point out that, yeah, sometimes these gradient kits look great in person, but when you look at them on TV, they kind of look a little strange.
Yeah, that's the true test. Especially if we've seen the jerseys where it looks one way from the front, another from the back, and that gets annoying quick.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to see, because I haven't seen a lot of Capelli kits in person, so we'll see.
Yeah. Are those the only two teams with jerseys out now, us and Carolina?
I thought we saw one was going to be a Nike. I thought Dallas said they were going to be Nike.
Yeah, and then... somebody else said they're doing Capelli today. DC is going Capelli.
Yeah.
So I think a couple teams have announced who's going to make their jerseys, but just us in Carolina, I think, with the actual rollout of the shirts.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, Dallas's merch is hot.
They
have some phenomenal merch. Son, if you're listening, please, I need a bomber jacket stat with a giant Sun logo on the back, okay? Because there's one for the Dallas Trinity, so that's not fair. And we're actually going to have winter soccer now, so I could wear it.
Yeah. I think Dallas is well financed on that end of things. So hopefully we'll see more of them too.
It's
interesting. They came out swinging too with the merch. Yeah. Like they came out with like just a whole line right off the bat. And the Sun was a little more conservative comparatively. They came out with like a couple of hoodies, a couple of sweatshirts. With like a zip up and a pullover, a couple of shirts, and they've released like a couple more shirts since then, but not a ton.
We kind of got those like staple merch pieces. We didn't pick up any must buy things like the Trinity bomber jacket, you know?
I mean, disagree, because I had to have a scarf immediately. Scarf was a must buy.
You got to have the scarf. Come on.
Yeah.
Look at your wall behind you.
And the super cool t-shirt.
Yeah.
That I can't. I'm very bad at directions in the. I'm so bad at.
We love it, Lizzie. I'm making you Rochester Lancers because it's the right colors.
Yes, it is the right color. I do like your trend of just wearing anything blue and gold that you can find, or navy and gold that just happens to coincide. I like it.
So yeah, and I mean about Dallas too. Let's talk about them for a little bit because they are our first opponent after all. They gotta have deep pockets, like we're kind of hitting at, because to play at the Cotton Bowl. That's no joke. And I like their strategy of signing. It seems like every player they've signed has been a Texan native, basically, which works for some teams. It works for a team in Texas. We've got a lot of Florida girls, not quite as many as they do Texans. But, man, if you're the only team in Texas, why not go all out on it and be like the who's that team in Spain that only signs Basque players? That I feel like that's what they're doing. And it's a good strategy for them. It's a way to get eyes on them for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I like, so just cause I'm here, not cause I'm on the Sun podcast, but if I'd ranked the rosters for the Super League at the USL League One podcast we did, cause we're starting to ramp that up. But like I said, Tampa Bay is my number one. It's a pretty easy number one. It's actually easy. Number one. Number two is, and I won't go into details, but number two is probably Carolina. I think they're doing pretty well. And then I had kind of a mush, a tie there, because I think that Fort Lauderdale was my third. Now Spokane, I think, is doing really well. And Dallas is up there. So that's three. And I think one reason why I'm a little hesitant to put them kind of up in Carolina territory, because right now I think they've only got 15 or so announced. Obviously, they have more in the hopper, but they have 15. For me, Dallas is kind of doing Tampa Bay a little lower. If Tampa Bay is A plus, kind of Dallas is A. They're doing this, something similar. They came right out of bat with Amber Brooks as their veteran 2013 NWSL pick, like you guys did. But they have a ton of veteran talent like Tampa Bay does. Texas focused. They went, defense heavy and midfield heavy. They have Sam Estrada, who is Dan Vaughn's from El Paso, a protagonist. So his favorite player, Sam Estrada, from young goalkeeper from SMU. They just picked up a player from Gotham, Hinson, who's, they picked up four forwards in a row. Chioma, her last name, Ugo Gagu,
yes,
probably 30 plus years old from Tottenham Hotspur, but has Texas connections. I think she grew up in Texas. I think her family moved to Texas really soon after she was born.
Yeah, I want to say Koppel.
Yeah. She's an NWSL draftee. So they have a really good mix of, like Tampa Bay does, of veterans and young players, which I think you need. And we had at our USL League One podcast this past week, we had Tyler Crane, who covers Lexington SC, who obviously has a Super League team. And I was a little hesitant on Lexington SC, but he talked me up on them because the reason why I was hesitant is because a good chunk of their roster right now are from USL W League, which, because I'm learning these players, my first reaction was, oh boy, they're just kind of high amateur players. And he talked me through them that these are players that have connections already to Lexington as a club, to the coaching staff, and there's a lot of chemistry. And one thing about the current Lexington men's team is chemistry. They have a ton of attacking talent, but their chemistry is just off. It really is terrible. Yeah. And he recognized this because he chuckled when I talked about that on the podcast. So Lexington has this great chemistry already built in, and I think it's great that Tampa Bay and Dallas are getting players from the area, because it really does help that chemistry, which you can have a ton of talented players, but if they're not meshing, then it's not going to translate really well onto the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I had that same sort of worry looking at Lexington, where it's a lot of W League players, and they didn't even make the W League playoffs,
right.
But they're picking the best of the best, yep. They're supplementing it. And like you're saying, there is so much to be said for a team that knows each other and knows their tendencies. They're not going to have a lot of those early season hiccups that we're going to see I think they'll probably come out looking like a mid-season team, even if it is a mid-season, mid-table team.
Yeah.
So good to see. And we're actually going to get a pretty early look at Lexington, possibly, because they have a pair of preseason games scheduled already. An early one. Against University of Kentucky, right there in town, and then another one against Cumberland University, which I understand has a lot of connections with the coaching staff at Lexington SC. So they're building a different way than some of the other teams. They know they're monetarily challenged compared to some of the other teams, and they're doing what they have to do to be able to compete. So I do like what they're doing in Kentucky, and I think. As far as like you're saying about, some teams bringing in some good veteran talent and older, Tampa Bay, Dallas got kind of an older roster. I know you and I both rate Fort Lauderdale and Carolina fairly highly too in the grand scheme. And I think they're kind of trending the opposite way, where they're bringing in a lot of young talent, high schoolers in some cases on both teams, which is scary because it bodes well for their future.
Yeah, I mean, so Fort Lauderdale started off very young on their rosters, like 22s, 23, 24-year-olds. That's the first eight or nine players, and now they started bringing some older players. the first chunk of players for them were NCAA players,
yep,
straight out of college. Not a bad idea at this level, but I think when you're comparing them to Tampa Bay and Dallas, it can be an issue when you have veteran players who have a lot of experience, and then you have players who are coming right out of college. I've heard a lot on the covering both USL League One and NISA about how much faster the pro game is compared to amateur and college. And it's really hard for players to get up to speed, literally get up to speed.
Yeah.
Because they might have the talent level, but everything's moving much quicker and it takes them a while. And so that was my concern with Fort Lauderdale, but they have started bringing in a bit older players with the last couple, Erica Gomez and Shania Gordon, who are both 27 years old.
Yeah.
Cruz Azul and Montpellier from France. So that's good to see. Carolina is connected to the Independents, the Charlotte Independents. Right. And I think we're seeing that academy system just happening right away with the Super League. So you were just talking about, they have already five Academy League players, yep, under Academy League. Yeah. Academy contracts. And covering USL League One, you'll see those players pop up every once in a while, but and it'd be interesting to see if it's going to be different in the Super League. Maybe we'll see them on the pitch right away, but that's just a great long-term thing out of Carolina. That's going to pay dividends for them down the road, both on the pitch and probably monetarily if they move these players on and get money, because that's part of the game. Carolina, I like them. They might be a tad bit on the young side overall. I'm wondering about the veteran presence there, but I will say that the last player I saw that they brought on board is going to be my favorite player, Anika Creel. You don't see a lot of Creels anywhere. And so a center back, 27 years old, has been on Indy 11, which is a bit of a machine right, yeah, now in the W League, and has a ton of experience. But they have, I really like their team top to bottom too. It might be that they have kind of what Lexington has is this club behind them that's already kind of up to speed and going, that a lot of the other really pure expansion clubs don't have. Yeah. That might help them keep going. What's interesting about Carolina for me is they're bringing in a lot of, especially even the beginning, top to bottom, from when they started the first pick to all the way to the end, overseas experience, veteran experience, a lot of it. Other teams started to kind of catch up with them, but they obviously have a lot of feelers out on the international kind of women's soccer system.
Yeah, it's a really robust organization, you say, tying in with Independents. They got a great youth system, academy level, League Two. They got the team that plays out there in Rock Hill too. So they know what they're doing in that regard. And it is an advantage that some of these academy connected teams are going to have over some of the expansion clubs.
The one a little bit worry right now with Carolina for me is both of their keepers are young keepers there. They have two, not counting the academy player. Megan McClellan is only 23, but has a lot of experience. And their second keeper is an 18-year-old.
Yeah. I think that might be a Sun situation where we had the two youngins and then brought in Marchese.
Yeah. Yep.
Dan, what do you think about DC? Because they really like chaffed us. They threw up a lot of information at once.
Yeah. I was concerned. I was very concerned for quite a while there. The rollout has been odd. I think there's ownership kind of took a while to happen.
Yeah.
And then they held the whole branding and then quick rebranding, which again is problematic, but they have 15 players. They released 11 or 10 or 11 all at once. And I was like, wow, okay. They aren't playing around. They have their substance here, because they have a very veteran player, very veteran roster. They have six national team players, you know, from various teams. They've got an NWSL draftee. their goalkeeper situation they have a really good veteran keeper with Adelaide Gay. They have a really, really seems like a really kind of up and coming young keeper, Morgan Aquino, who's on the U23 Australia team, plays for Perth. I just happened to see, covering it, that the team that she was on was like really, really sad that she was going, like, it was a kind of a big deal that she's going overseas. The final player of those they announced of that big kind of was from West Ham United. So I was happily surprised by the level of talent on this DC Power roster. The first player, Jorian Bauckham, a striker, I think she's coming from Hibernia, and I think she might be a problem. Yeah. for the league, as long as this team is kind of cohesive and moving things together, she looks like she might be able to score goals in bunches. I think we'll see. I think fingers crossed they're going to be okay. I'm a little worried that what kind of response you're going to get from the DC fan base. I live in the DC area, by the way. The DC fan base is super fickle. We're not great with teams. We really, really kind of aren't the best about supporting teams.
I've seen some defensiveness already from Spirit fans.
So, because I think originally they were supposed to play out where Loudoun United plays, which is way out in the suburbs of Virginia, but now they're playing in Audi Field.
Which is weird, right?
It's
like,
right?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, odd. I don't have any other way to put it. Like,
well, United, DC United's still like part of the ownership.
Yeah, yeah, it's an odd situation. And I think they're definitely helping them out here with this roster. I have a feeling that the DC United's really had some help with this. And you saw recently there's a lot of social media push from the club of five or six of the Super League players in Audi Field. Yep. If you've seen, so that's not a coincidence. They put them in the owner's box or nearby.
Yeah.
It's an odd situation, and I think they're facing an uphill battle when it comes to.
But didn't the fan base. The MLS just tried to buy the end? Wasn't it they want to buy the NWSL?
that's the so rumor. Confused.
The soccer wars are evolving at an exponential rate now with the addition of a Super League. We've opened an entirely new front, and it's making things very exciting.
I'm a little bit surprised there isn't something in like the MLS like contract that says that you can't buy a women's team unless we authorize it, and I don't understand why they would ever be okay with a USL team.
That might be why they're not a majority owner, because
okay, that's fair. Yeah,
it might be.
Yeah,
might
okay, be. Maybe they can't be a majority owner. That's fair.
But I think, like Dan, you're implying, I think DC probably really has their hands in the pie.
I think so. It feels like.
I think
it.
The biggest like thing in favor of that is first time ever head coach Frederick Beyond, right?
Wouldn't they have kept the red color though? Then, because isn't DC United red and black?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think that was just too much. Yeah, I don't know why, too
close to it. You think?
I'm just in conjecture. Sorry. Territory.
That's the fun part.
I have heard that the original logo looked too much like Honda. Well, not Honda.
The Hyundai Power Wing logo. Yeah.
I don't know if it's
a joke that we're all taking very seriously, or if there's anything to that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. So
I do got to compliment you, Dan, on the headphones that are DC Power colored.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thank you. That was definitely on. You know, that was on purpose.
A little nod to your local, right?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Who else we got? We got we could do Brooklyn real quick because they're not right.
Yeah.
So when I was doing my power rankings, they were my question mark because the rollout is very, very slow.
Yeah. They don't have an 11 yet.
They have six by my count. They might be one or two people that came out.
Cool. Just 30 days, guys. Just 30 days. 29 for some.
25 is the oldest player. Jessica Garziano might be older. I'm not sure how. No, she's not because she just got out of college. Yeah. six players, 25 years old. I mean, they that you can't really say much with that.
There's not a lot to it out of the players they have either. There's no names. I mean, there's one name that jumps right out at me, and I'm furious about it because I desperately wanted Sun to sign Sidney Martinez as our goalie. She's Puerto Rican national teamer, went to USF. I thought that's a shoo-in. That's easy. So when she was announced as Brooklyn's first player, I about threw my phone at the wall.
So I have a podcast soccer connection to this organization, the part owners, the technical staff, the now I'm blanking on the name, but it is that was they had run a NISA club before, a New York NISA club, New Amsterdam FC, and then they left because that was a big mess, and then they started the youth side that's now connected to Brooklyn FC.
Two Bridges.
So Two Bridges, and I think Two Bridges was the path that they used to get a bunch of investors on board. A lot of high-level investors, a lot of money, both on the men's side and the women's side. I'm a little surprised that they're rolling out so slowly, and that's it is troubling. It's a month away. Yeah. 3 months is like okay, that's okay. And there's some grumbling about a lot of teams not getting a lot of names out. That's fine at this level, especially for new clubs. Six or seven at this point.
It does start to get worrying every day that goes on. I love what Brooklyn's doing off the field with Two Bridges.
Academy,
super cool. I've seen their on their social media. They're out there in the streets at like festivals, telling people how to sign up for tickets. Their men's second 11, they called it, which I don't know what they're doing there marketing wise, but their men's second 11 will go played a game against Cuenca, Cide Club Deportivo Cuenca. At the baseball stadium that they're going to play at. So there's like obvious signs of life and vitality there. Yeah. Just not really on the Super League front of things.
Yeah. Which is worrying for an organization that was primarily at the beginning, men's soccer focused.
Yeah.
You don't want the women's soccer team just to be a bolt-on or something that you add for flavor or whatever. It's terrible. It's bad. And I'm with you on that. You want to make this as robust as the men's side. It's not going to fly at all. So fingers crossed they're going to do a DC Power and give us 10 or 11 players at once.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like chaos is just kind of par for the course though. When you have a women's soccer league, there's just always just a little element of chaos, especially like when you're starting up.
Yeah, that's true. I will say from my standpoint, who's covered lower soccer leagues, the amount of chaos in Super League is relatively small.
Yeah.
So
we've done pretty well, like in terms of like real craziness. Like, I mean, we have to wait till we actually make it to opening day, obviously. But in terms of like anything, nothing like too earth shattering or anything. Nothing set us back or anything like that.
I think DC and Brooklyn are our two chaos teams, and that's okay.
Yeah. That's all right.
I think DC is usually a chaos team.
Yeah. No, that's a chaos city. That's the capital of the country. So, let's touch on two Spokane. This is one that I'm pretty interested in because they're really cooking something out there. I'm too far away from their kitchen to smell exactly what it is. But man, they got their new stadium. Looks great. The League One team is doing their thing. They're pulling in good crowds.
Yeah.
They got Gonzaga right there as a college feeder. So I think it's good, but man, I'm not sure. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, it's the same. I think they've started to pick up steam for me, momentum, roster wise, organization wise. They've hit the ground running in USL League One, and they get tons of crowds. They're really professional.
Yeah.
As outsiders, when you're connected to them, it seems like they have funds to do this. And I think we're starting to see that with this roster. They love two things. They love, well, one thing they love in Spokane, both in, on the men's side is center midfielders. And with the women's side, they have decided to go center midfield heavy. They have three or four in the first 10 or so picks. And wow. I joke with our Spokane folks that we connect with. They have a bunch of NWSL draftees. They have like three or four 2014 draftees, a couple of 2013 draftees. Not a bad thing to do at this level if you can get it and if you can afford it. I really like the Riley Tanner signing that happened fairly recently. She's got an NWSL experience. She has international experience. She's got international She's got national team experience, World Cup experience, and you pick. She's 24 years old. I like that pick a lot. I think that's going to be a big pick.
When they picked up Riley, I think I said on the pod, like she's their billboard player. That's the big name there.
Yeah. I like it a lot. I they have a couple of younger goalkeepers. One's straight out of college. One's got some almost straight out of college. It's playing in Australia. I like this team. I'm going to see how they kind of like the. Sorry, this is just off. So I have to say this because I never had to say this yet. They're like 14th and 15th pick around there. What was it? I don't know how to say their name, but the Reeses, double Reeses. They did Reeses back to back. Tyus Reese and Taryn Reese, which I just found kind of very, very funny. I like this team. I like this team a lot. I think this is going to be a fun team to watch. I will say that. Again, who knows how it's going to play out, but I think this is going to be an enjoyable team to watch play.
Yeah. I look forward to a lot of 10:30 Eastern time kickoffs watching Spokane, halfway in the bag already, but trying to keep it together to stay up and watch.
Yeah.
No, I'm a fan. I love it because, like, you watch the Rowdies game at, 7:30. It ends at 9:30, and then you have, an hour, and then next game, boom, just
I
more
agree.
Soccer.
I'm with you. As long as I can stay up, yes.
That's how I became a Phoenix fan. You keep it going for 4 hours,
Yeah. I think I think the league as a whole, it's going to be a good time. I'm so excited, honestly. I think I said it on every podcast, but man, I just can't freaking wait. It's going to be so good. I feel like everyone's really starting to get their stuff together. They're all coming out swinging. They're showing that they're here and they're not, they don't want to play, but they do want to play. They want to play soccer, but they're not here to play. They're here to just play soccer.
No game, just soccer. One
just
game.
Just soccer, yeah.
And then, well, 28 games, actually.
Yeah.
Two halves. If they can translate how they've rolled out USL League One, and if has that similar feeling, and obviously it's USL, so it's the same. USL League One is a fun, as somebody who doesn't have a team in the league, I'm not a supporter of a team, it's a fun league to watch, and it's very close. There's a couple of teams at the bottom, a couple of teams at the top, but it's very competitive, and the players are really talented, and it's fun, and the teams know what they're doing on the front office side of things. What really good coaches, and it looks like that's what's happening. They're doing the same thing with the Super League, and if so, I think this is going to be a big hit. Yeah. And it's playing in the traditional schedule, which is pretty much open in the U.S. This is an open area, and I think that's going to be a big hit.
I think one thing that's really cool about League One is the fact that it's not such a huge league like MLS or Championship. You get to, as a fan of that league, you get to know the players, the teams, the fan bases really well. And with just eight teams in Super League this first season, I think everybody who pays even a passing amount of attention to their local team is going to end up being pretty damn knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really good for the fans. I'm in the USL Discord server, and that League One channel never shuts up, dude. They are always talking about something.
Hey, the Super League channel didn't shut up yesterday.
You guys were talking about NWSL the whole time.
Ooh. But it was the Super League channel.
it's gonna be a good thing. We're gonna make some new friends, you know.
No, and it's you have to talk about the NWSL when you talk about the Super League, because the NWSL, like for all intents and purposes, the NWSL was the building blocks.
Yes.
The NWSL walked so the Super League could run.
That's correct.
So we were talking about it. It was relevant. It made sense. And there's, I think, one of the things you touched on, saying that like the fans are gonna get to know the teams and the players really well. It harkens back to the NWSL, honestly, because that's kind of how it felt then, when we only had like 8 teams, and we were just holding on for dear life, praying we would make it to the next year. I feel like we're definitely gonna feel a little bit more stable than that, thankfully. But I do love that we are gonna have that like that kind of closeness. With the league as a whole, it's going to be like us versus them during the game, but afterwards just be like, all right, let's go get a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of it. Some of my favorite memories about away days are getting there and, you know, like Jacksonville, especially, getting up there and getting handed Jello shots and Armada colors right off the bus.
Yeah.
But man, I'm going to like these people.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Sporting Jacksonville fans are similar in nature.
For sure. Do we have any final thoughts then around the Super League? Do we have any final questions, Tom?
Talk about League One real quick. There's that other thing that happened today out of the great state of Nebraska. Union Omaha. Dan, you want to take the lead on this?
I missed it. I actually missed it because I was working all day. So you guys are breaking whatever
what
you're talking about. You're breaking.
Instead of paying attention to soccer news.
It's Thursday, dude. Come on. It's the weekend.
Yeah.
So Omaha, they've been pushing hard everywhere. Super impressive organization. There's been the rumblings about them going to championship. They're getting their stadium in order that they want to build, so they're not playing out in the suburbs in a damn baseball stadium anymore. And they announced today that when they get that stadium built, the goal is 2026. They want to move up the championship with the men's side, and they want to start a professional women's soccer team as well.
Yeah, so, that's not surprising. Not surprising at all.
Yeah.
That is an organization that's just doing so well in USL League One. They play in that tiny little baseball stadium. They get tons of crowds, and they use it to their advantage because it's got a very skinny field.
Yeah.
And their team is built to take advantage of that. That is my favorite fan base in USL League One. As somebody who just came to it a year plus ago and isn't near that area, I really like that fan base. That is it's not a rabid fan base. It's a very passionate fan base, and they're oriented toward their community. They have social justice angles. They have different kind of different supporters group. It's not just one. And a few kind of smaller ones. And they're able to build a stadium, that's going to be a really good move if they're able. It's going to happen, right? They'll move up the championship and they'll have a Super League team, and they'll move up to the championship because that's what will make it happen, is they'll get a Super League team and they'll be able to play in a new stadium. It's good news. It's good news for that area. It's good news for U.S. soccer. So,
they're already a hit in a city with not a lot of other sporting options, and moving the soccer teams up is only going to make them bigger and more important, and that's huge.
Playing soccer in Omaha in the winter might be dicey at times, but
yeah, I am wondering how that's going to work. I think we talked about that when they first announced Brooklyn. We were like, winter soccer may not be fun. But
thanks to global warming, it might not be as bad.
Good
as
point. Maybe the USL is banking on global warming.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
We can't stop it. We can still work within its terms. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure Omaha is going to have like front loaded and back loaded towards like the summer with home games, and then they probably won't have any home games at all in like November and March.
I hope they invest in like the kind of modern heating underneath the stadium.
Oh yeah, the heated field
and
everything.
I was wondering about that. Yeah. I don't. Is that? Do they even have that? This might be a silly question. Do they have that in MLS stadiums up north? Or maybe they do because they usually play at like NFL stadiums.
Yeah, I think they do because they play at NFL stadiums.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Minnesota did host that national team game that was like 2 degrees out where everybody's beers were freezing and stuff. So they got to have something to work with.
Damn. That's rough. Okay, wait. So did I miss any other news?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dan, any, Dan, Tom, do we have any final thoughts on the USL Super League then?
I love the USL Super League.
I do too.
Well, I don't know how to follow that. I will say, well, let me just talk because I didn't really talk much about the Tampa Bay Sun. The team that came out pretty much first with kind of the organizationally what they're doing and the first one to pop their head up and really connect marketing wise. And they look like they're doing everything right. They're renovating that museum. They're renovating that stadium, which is amazing. Bringing in Tim Rack and Listro 1 and 2. I mean, veterans at the top, veteran midfielders at the top. And then they bring in that trio of strikers or soon after that. Like you said, they just brought in Marchese. Probably maybe the one kind of slim thin area in the roster. I mean, this is just from top to bottom. It's, you have young players, you have veteran players that are coming from Europe, they're coming from South America, NWSL. It feels to me like they're doing everything right as an expansion team in a new league. I think you could tell me if I'm wrong. It feels like you said they just had a newspaper piece on them, even though it was small, fluffy. That's a big deal in this day and age to have a soccer piece in a newspaper, in the sports section of the newspaper. And so if somebody were to ask me right now, separate from this kind of, give me the kind of the tentpole team or the tentpole teams in this league, it would be Tampa Bay Sun right now for me. It's pretty easy. You can make a case for other teams, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how you do on the field, right? I think it's going to be fine. You never know. I think it should be fine unless the wheels fall off, which I don't think the wheels are going to fall off. But I just wanted to say that about Tampa Bay Sun. And I think for me, once, the league was announced, but once they started rolling out the season, that Tampa Bay Sun came out so professionally, it was like, okay, all right. Okay. This isn't going to be kind of, put together with tape and baling wire. So I think it's going to be an exciting year for Tampa Bay. I think it's going to be fun to cover this team when you guys cover this team. So I will say that. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm super excited about this league. I'm super excited to learn about all the players and the supporters groups and be sarcastic with you all. That's all I have to say. Glad you're doing a pot. Super happy y'all are doing a podcast about women's soccer team there, the professional level that's not NWSL.
We wanted this in Tampa Bay for a long time. It's our first pro women's team. So.
I mean, just to give you a reference, I had the Twitter account, Do the Rowdies Have a Women's Team Yet? And I think, I can't remember when I started that. Maybe 2019 or 2020. And I had that going for the longest time. Then they announced the Sun. I was like, all right, don't need that anymore. Thank God.
Finally.
Your work here is done.
Reveal? I think I've said that on the podcast before, that I had that. I mean, most people knew. Let's be real. Who else is going to have a Twitter account that just tweets, do the Rowdies have a women's team yet? No. Okay, yes. JD might. We're going to call out JD.
Yep. Thanks for the mic, JD.
Yep. we've been waiting for what feels like forever and a day for a women's team. It's still bonkers to me that the NWSL never cashed in on Tampa or Miami, quite frankly, as a competitor or a local rival for Orlando. It just makes sense to me. So I'm excited.
Maybe we get that open cup, you know?
Yeah.
Then we get to play Orlando.
Yeah, I think moving forward, it'll be if we get a women's open cup, because I think we looked at the map. It's like 30 teams now. Like, I mean, granted, the NWSL has a bunch of teams, but
I'm with you. The U.S. should right now, we should have a women's open cup.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that U.S. soccer would mess it up. That's my one thing at this point, but it should be a thing. I think what I've heard kind of in that area is that the lower team, the amateur teams, the funding for them is just so low that it would be a burden on them to take part. So they'd have, but non-amateur organizations have money. They should kind of help out the amateur organizations.
Yeah. USSF has money. They could pay for some plane rides. Yeah.
It should be a thing. It's probably the one thing in US soccer that's, if I always point to, is like, that's really lacking. The US soccer does not have a women's.
Yeah. We've had arena open cups in the past. Granted, not lately, but if the American arena soccer landscape can come together for a big interleague competition, there's no reason women's soccer can't too, I think.
Well, I'm a bit of a soccer historian. They launched a women's open cup in the 80s, like 1980. It was a thing for a while, and then it kind of disappeared. But yes, it can be done.
It was a thing for a while, and then it kind of disappeared, the women's soccer story.
Yeah. It's kind of still around, kind of, sort of. But yes, it was a big deal, and then it kind of disappeared. Yeah.
No, sorry. It seems to be a common theme for a lot of women's soccer stuff. Then it comes around for a little bit, and then it goes away, and it comes back again.
I agree.
I'm glad it's here to stay. And not only that, we're gonna have two leagues. Yes. Two, as I hold up four fingers. Yes. Two.
Yes. That's something to, if any NWSL fans are watching this or are worried about the competition, there is more than enough space in the United States for two women's professional leagues.
Yeah, that was actually literally a quote in the that fluff piece that I read today. I think Coach Denise was saying, it says a lot that, you know, we're the size of 20 European countries. Right. We're the one country in the world that could support two Division One teams.
Yes.
At least.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah.
So we talked about, you know, how impressed we are with the league going forward. We got a lot of good things happening with strong ownership groups, good players, good opportunities for players. We got the Peacock deal, so everybody can watch on TV. Dan, do you think there's anything going forward that the league can maybe take another step and get some more eyes on it, impress some more people? What do you think year two maybe, or what do you think we got to do to keep this thing going?
I think just smart expansion. Is what you have to do. It's like, just steady, smart expansion. I think you look at League One and take a page out of that. They had to slow down because of COVID and lockdowns. Now you see them really ramping up. Mm-hmm. And in the however many years, 5 years or so down the line, I think looking at that 5 years down the line, you're going from 8 to maybe 16, I think for me. And 16 cities, teams that is looking to play in a soccer stadium, right?
Yeah.
Have a fan base that is really ready for women's soccer right now, and bring in the right investment groups and front offices. That it's you know, it's money. Money is a big thing, right? But beyond that, it's just slow, steady growth and being smart about it. People want to see women's soccer. It's something that soccer fans want to see.
Everybody watches women's sports, man.
There's a massive market up there, and I think just tapping into it in a smart way is all. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
That's all. Easy.
Just simply keep growing and don't screw it up, guys.
There you go. This never happened before.
Yeah. Super easy. Very. Just follow that plan. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, good stuff. Dan, you wanna plug your stuff again? And Eureka will put all his info in the YouTube description, right?
Yeah. Protagonist Soccer is the main account. Protagonist Podcast is the podcast account. USL One League Under the Sea is the podcast we do for USL League One, which is probably the thing. I came up with that name. It's my claim to fame. Go on my gravestone. So check that out. It's a fun league to cover, and we have a fun time covering it.
Cool.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show for sure. You're welcome. We love getting some outside opinions and some definitely someone from a different part of the U.S. kind of seeing it from the outside.
Yeah.
I think one of the big cliches about new leagues is, it's starting to feel real. But I think having somebody on our podcast to talk about it outside of just it's starting to feel real, man.
For sure.
Yeah, it's fun. You have the butterflies. You have the preseason butterflies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. This is RBLR Sun. Oh, I can talk. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, click all the things so that you never ever miss a single update, because we are trying to be every single week except for last week. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Remember, like, subscribe, leave a comment if you liked something. If you didn't like something, cool. That about wraps it up for today. Thank you so much. Make sure you join us next week. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.